you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
All right, welcome in, everyone. It is Thursday, September 24th. I am Dave. That is Jim. We are one half of Keystone State Paranormal Society. This is Penetrating the Veil, the one-hour internet radio interactive show. This week, Jim said he has a few EVPs he wanted to play for us, and we're going to discuss an investigation that we just agreed to participate in, and that will be over the Halloween weekend, Friday and Saturday the 30th and 31st, at the Haunted Harrison House Bed and Breakfast in Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to post the link in our comments right here so everyone can see it. Dwayne, welcome in. Gettysburg Ghost Exchange, which is Pam and Steve Berry, of course. Welcome in, friends. Hope you guys are doing well. We were asked by an old friend of ours who we've investigated with several times, Ms. Lola Carter, to be a part of this investigation. Hi, Holly. Welcome in. And hi, Hetty. Welcome in. And we weren't sure what was going on, what her plans were, or anything like that, but it just happened that our schedule was free. Haley will not be able to make it, of course. She has, she'll be doing trick-or-treating with her three boys, so, or she'll be spending that holiday with her three boys and preparing for Dia de los Muertos, of course. Hi, Jenny Olson, welcome in. But we're going to get her the address, and she's going to remote in for us so that we have an idea of what we're walking into and, what's going on around us. As only Haley can provide for us. Welcome in Lola Carter, of course, our friend who has invited us on this investigation, and John McGinnis, welcome in. I personally have never heard of this place before, but it's fairly well known apparently around the Columbus, Ohio area. It's located about half a mile south of Ohio State University. So it's right down near downtown Columbus. The description of the place is a three-story Victorian era home that is on the National Register of Historic Places. If you go to the link that I posted, you can see a couple pictures and the history of the location and a history of the haunting as far as the evidence captured and what's been reported and things of that nature. So it looks like a beautiful, nice, beautiful place. Jim, I don't know if you've actually looked at it yet.
No, I haven't.
It was originally built in 1890. But like I said, it looks beautiful. It's apparently in 1980... In 1965, it was a disheveled fixer-upper at the time, and it needed a lot of money for renovation and restoration, as did most of the homes in that neighborhood. So a company called OMC, Olentangy Management Company, which is a subsidiary of Battelle Memorial Institute, came to the rescue, bought up the home and the other historical houses in the neighborhood, and it undertook the nation's largest privately financed renovation project by restoring not only the Harrison House Bed and Breakfast, or at the time it was known as the Solomon Home, as well as the other historic houses in the neighborhood. So, thanks to them, that's a lot of fantastic old Victorian area places that were saved from, I guess, the wrecking ball or just falling down on their own. by this company. So, you know, kudos to them. I mean, I can't even imagine this. That's the size of the amount of money it would take for that place, plus several other houses in that neighborhood of that size. Must have been amazing. You know, Jim's looking at some of the pictures now. The interior is gorgeous. What's that, a 10-person dining room table?
Yeah, 10-person dining room area. Absolutely.
Some of the food that they serve. There's the sitting room. It looks, again, beautifully restored, but restored to its original luster.
And then from what I understand, this is part of a fundraiser for the house.
Yes, yes. Well, all the proceeds that come from this will go towards upkeep of the home. So we're happy to be a part of that. There's a couple places that I know Jim and I and Haley are trying to get lined up to help them raise money for their locations, such as the Keeley Mansion and things of that nature. So, you know, this kind of just presented itself a few weeks ago, and literally minutes before the show, Jim and I decided that we were going to go ahead and go on board with this. So I contacted Lola, and she was very appreciative and very excited for us to be a part. For those of you who are not familiar with Lola, our first meeting with her was years ago when we did our very first investigation at the Bel Air House, and it wound up being Jim and I and Lola and Mike Simpson, who all you're familiar with, and a guy named Rick Hodge. And that was such an amazing investigation. The chemistry was so good, and things went so well. Well, most of the things went so well. I had a bad spout there for a few hours, but I mean that turned into an amazing positive. So we've investigated with her several times. We did the Benton Family Farms with her. We did what was the author's place that we did in Columbus?
Because
It was the author's home, and then the rec center next door. And I can't remember. Lola, you're watching. You'd probably give us the name. I don't remember the name of it. I'm getting bad with remembering things now, too. So.
Wow.
Because that's where we had the children playing Ring Around the Rosie with REM pods. It was crazy. So, you know, we've investigated there. Jim couldn't make it. I did the investigation at the Rhodes Hotel out in Indiana. I'm doing a little bit better, Eric. Thank you for joining.
James Thurber
House, that's what it was, correct. Hey, Stephanie, welcome in. Brandy Bird Brothers, welcome in.
And then I want to thank Lola for that, because that's not available on any regular basis for
the Thurber House?
Right. A couple times a year they have that, again, as a fundraiser to help maintain it.
Right.
And Lola had an in with the group that maintains that, and so we were invited on her, and we've mentioned this before, but it's one where you never know what to expect. We had gone up there knowing in advance that
on that location was a mental institution that had burned down, and so we were expecting to make contact with the spirits of these patients who had burned to death, and the staff and things like that who had burned to death, and we got none of that, none of it at all. So you never know what you're going to get. Theo Kohler, welcome in. Have we set that up with him for that house yet?
No, we have to get up.
Are we
there
waiting on him, or?
We've been basically for us, because I'm in some work now. You know, I'm tied up the next 3 weekends at least. You know,
starting
this.
Next weekend.
Yep.
Okay. So it would have to come after.
So if we're doing a weekend, I have to be after this. Yeah, you'll be looking in November.
Okay.
So that's, we're waiting to go on that. But we'll definitely get that in, Theo, before the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? And I haven't heard back, Theo. Let me follow up. I had a couple people getting leads on it, and I haven't heard from them in weeks. So let me follow up on that house. Remember, we were doing remote viewing on the thing, the home up in Summit Hill?
Through him.
Well, the referral he gave, right?
Yes.
That's where the cemetery's in the back of the home and stuff.
Yeah.
So I ain't heard back on Janet on that. I'll have to, she'd give me some original input.
Okay, but she kept saying she was drawn more to the cemetery, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
something
I remember
kept drawn her to the cemetery.
Welcome in, Colette.
Oh, and then also, for everybody, I'll announce the date now.
Welcome
in. We'll be posting this on our site, but...
Brian Ball from Bearded Paranormal, welcome in, my friend.
We lose one of our two-hour segments in November because of Thanksgiving. We will not be having a show for a Thursday, the 26th of November, because that's Thanksgiving Day.
Right.
And also, December 24th is a Thursday, and that's Christmas Eve. So we will not be having shows on those days. So that leaves one two-hour segment period in November.
Okay.
And that will be Thursday, November 12th. We'll have Miss Louie Johnson coming back doing live readings.
So she's coming on for the one two-hour show.
Right, for the one two-hour show we have for November. She's
okay.
Going to do
what's the date again?
November 12th.
If you want to be a part of that, you got to get in on the ground floor. That is going to be Laurie Johnson doing live readings on our two-hour show, November 12th. Welcome in. Like I said, Brian Baum from Bearded Paranormal, welcome in. Haley, our teammate from York, welcome in. Haley, in case you didn't get in time, we're looking at the Harrison House Bed and Breakfast in Columbus, Ohio, and I can message you the exact address after the show for you to give us a quick remote in and see what's in store for us. Judith from Hampton Inn, Middletown, Ohio, welcome. Mike says to Lola, see you this weekend. I wonder what they're doing this weekend. Mike, what do you guys got on tap this weekend? Curious.
Going hot and heavy.
Yeah, I know. He got back in with Ghost Hunts USA, and it's just nonstop for that guy. I'd love to know where he gets the energy, because I sure as hell don't have it. I would love to do something this weekend, you know? But, especially with this being the last weekend before, but I mean, you already have your thing tomorrow. Now, Melissa's off this weekend, so
right.
I don't know, maybe we'll see. See what we've got going on. They're doing their meet and greet at Post Town. That's the non-con 5, isn't it, I believe? That's a hell of a drive to do by yourself. Oh, yeah. The last time we were at Post Town was for the conference with Live Paranormal. SuperCon, I believe they called it. And that ended up not so good. Unfortunately, as happens fairly regularly with these locations that rent to the public, such as Post Town and the Bel Air House, things like that, it seems someone broke the rules and did a little conjuring and brought in something that was unbelievably dark and negative and was just not good and not what we're equipped to deal with during an investigation. So much so that at the advice of Haley and Janet, I backed out of investigating there the second night. And then Jim went in with Mike, and Jim was suffering the wrath of that evening for weeks, if not months, afterwards. So, it didn't end well.
I don't have a set date. I'll be posting that hopefully within the next week or two. But for October, one of the two-hour segments, and this comes to us, another recommendation from Cisco Murdoch, and I know people will be really interested in this one. The gentleman's name is Rob Guttro, G-U-T-R-O. and his specialty is connection and communication with pets on the other side.
Oh, okay.
And he's got a great book, which I actually would have copied in to read it before we get him, called How Pets Communicate from the Other Side. Gets like 4.5 out of 5 stars on the Amazon reviews. So he's sort of psychic medium, but in connection
specializes
with animals
in
and stuff.
Pets, okay.
So we'll, she said he's a fascinating guest, has a lot of really neat stuff. And, you know, we have quite a few listeners that were very tied in with their pets.
I know Haley herself has basically a pet cemetery in the yard, so
right.
I'm sure that's something that's going to draw her interest as well. So,
anyhow, we'll probably not the first. My guess is we'll probably have them for the latter 2-hour segment in October, but we'll post that up. But
okay. Yeah,
that sounds. By the way, I thought that would be a really interesting thing for the audience. So the gentleman's name is Rob Gutro, G-U-T-R-O, and Cisco's
right.
Already contacted him on benefit of us, and I've sent the initial feelers out. So,
Jenny, we don't have a date set for that, but we're looking towards the end of October. Now, what show do we have the last Thursday in October? That would be the 29th. Is that the 1-hour or the 2-hour show? Yeah, Haley said she would need the whole show just to talk to him.
October 29th is a 2-hour segment. The 15th,
okay.
We actually have 3 2-hour segments in October.
Okay, so I'm thinking.
So I'll be trying to get him for probably the 15th.
Okay, and then I'm thinking if she's available, we can get Lola on for the 29th to talk about Harrison House since we'll be going there the next day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds cool.
So let us know if that's something you'd be interested in, Haley. Lola. Have you on the 29th to talk about the Harrison House the night before we make that venture up there. And, Haley, when we have him on, we have Mr. Gutro on, maybe we can get you on the other line on one of the cell phones so you can, you know, like I said, I'm sure that's something you'd love to talk with him about. So.
And Haley, when I get the book in, it's not a real big book, but I'll float it and I'll mail it over to you so you can read it too. I'm sure you'd be interested in checking it out.
All right. So there's that. We'll set that up. Just out of curiosity, let me have a look on Google Maps.
I might be for next week. Since it's sort of short notice and everything's flipping in, I've been in touch. Cisco's willing to come back, so we might wind up having Cisco next week.
Okay.
Matter of fact, while we're going, let me see if she might be.
Let's see. Mike, do me a favor. If you have it, give me the address to Post Town. I'm curious. curious to see what that drive is. Apparently, Mike's been to the Harrison House before, so that's cool. We'll see what's going on here. Like I said, the history of this Harrison House starts in 1890, and I can read this to you for you guys. Banker and architect Amos Solomon designed and built the smaller original home with a side yard, a backyard, and its own private carriage drive off of Fifth Avenue. When he decided to double the size of this little home, he added a parlor, a foyer, and 2 rooms upstairs. He added a false turret and a gable with a false balcony to the roof. While he was at it, he added a new front porch, which is stunning to look at. He changed his address from 1269 Harrison Avenue to 313 West 5th Street because he wanted a far more fashionable address. At some point during the home's history, the attic was turned into another bedroom, perhaps when the property was turned into a rental. Solomon and his family lived in the house for 17 years, and in 1907, the Solomon family moved to Mount Vernon, Ohio, to take advantage of an opportunity for his advance his banking career. But he didn't sell the home. Instead, he rented it out to tenants for the next 23 years. So, till about 1930, there seemed to be a high turnover of tenants, for some unexplained reason. In 1965, that's when it was the fixer-upper, and that OMC fixed it all up. In 1980, the Solomon's Victorian began a new existence as the retreat house for Cardinal Industries executives. It was renamed Harrison House. In 1990, Harrison House was sold and turned into a bed and breakfast under a new owner. In December of 2006, the bed and breakfast was passed on to a new owner, Lynn Varney, who is the current owner and proprietor, and she continued operating the house as a bed and breakfast, and that's when she realized that there was spirit activity involved. So, okay, so let's see. Let's see. Mike wrote 6600. Trenton, Franklin Road, Middletown, Ohio. Okay. So we're looking at about a 7-hour drive. Ugh. I don't know. That's awful damn far for one person to drive by himself. Yeah, that's, whew. I don't know, that's, especially in my condition, I don't know if that's a good idea. But what's going on?
Nothing.
So, but again, looking at the pictures, whoever it was that, this OMC that did the renovation and restoration, they did a beautiful job. It is absolutely stunning inside and out. And apparently Lynn has done her side as well as far as keeping everything up. I'm glad that we can be part of the fundraiser to help her keep this place as it is. What EVPs did you have, do you know?
Yeah, did you get that stick?
I did not grab a stick from you, no.
What did I do with it?
Don't know.
There it is.
Okay, no.
And I'll tell you what's there. By the way, let's see. Yes, there is. Just to let everyone know, on YouTube, it's almost 2 hours long. There's our guest from last week, Steve Stockton. He's done a work with Kevin Killen, K-I-L-L-E-N, Civil War Ghosts.
Okay.
So that's, if anybody's interested, and I think that just premiered 2 days ago, premiered September 22nd. So for anybody who's interested, and I guess that was key through, just through the podcast, you know, Cisco's.
Turn it through the paranormal
right.
portal. Or
so it's okay. On YouTube if you want to look up. It's called Civil War Ghosts. With Steve Stockton and Kevin Killen. And that just debuted. And it's a whole bunch of, it's 2 hours worth with video of tales from Civil War Battlefield, Civil War Ghosts. Ooh, they got one about Johnny Clem. You know who he was?
I do not.
The little drummer boy of
the one
that's
like 12 years old or something?
Yeah, and he went on to become a brigadier general. He ultimately became a general.
Huh.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a ghost story with him.
Okay, so which ones were you thinking of?
Okay.
There's a whole bunch
the first
on here.
One, yeah, there's only There's only three on there. One is, says it's Halderman. It says Halderman, and it says I am with you. And again, these are just straight EVPs. None of these are with the voice boxes.
Okay, so these are straight off of. None of these are our Phantom Box.
Not the ones we're going to play tonight. No.
Okay,
now this
see.
One, if you remember earlier, we had one from the Halderman House, where I was talking to Spirit and asking about the trials and tribulations we're going through today, and we got the answer: we are watching. Remember
okay.
that one?
Yeah.
Well, this was in the previous clip that I unearthed this one, and it's either I am with you or I am listening. But anyhow,
okay.
Do you see it?
I see it. Yep,
okay.
I got it.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's see what we've got here.
That's why I ask those kind of questions.
Let's play that one more time because I'm hearing something different.
Okay.
That's why I ask those kind of questions.
See, I was hearing like I am with you, but it's...
Yeah, see, I hear I miss you.
Oh. Well, I'd never been there before.
That's why I ask these kind of questions.
Yeah, I could say, let me see, I've missed you. I don't know if I have a traveling spirit. That's the
or
first
maybe it was a former life.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, just got back. Cisco verified for next week. So.
Next week.
I mean, yeah, next week, October 1st. It's
the two-hour show? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she said she'd been tore up between work and finishing her second book, so she forgot. And she's working on a new sound system, too.
Hmm.
So, anyhow, she said she can do October 1st. So, next week, our two-hour guest will be Cisco.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's the one. The next one, just see what you hear. This is at the Lookout House. And you hear Eric speaking, and I couldn't make out. It was some kind of response, but I couldn't make
okay,
it
I
out.
Okay, I see you. Okay, let's see.
Sandra, that's my sister's name.
I hear some all raspy and crap, but I...
Sandra, that's my sister's name.
I don't know what the third word is, but I think I know what the first two words are saying.
Really?
Sandra, that's my sister's name.
I'm hearing that bitch is dead.
What?
That bitch is dead.
Okay.
Listen.
Sandra, that's my sister's name.
Yeah, you know what?
That's what I'm hearing.
Whoa.
That bitch is dead.
Whoa. That's crazy.
And I don't know why I would hear that, because we've never encountered anything like
no.
negative at the Lookout House, ever.
No, not at all.
And I'm saying this...
sure.
Low, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That sounds very possibility.
So, but that's right here. I'll play it one more time. What do you think?
Sandra, that's my sister's name.
That's what I hear. So I don't know. Okay, and what was the last one?
And the last one is, it says private home.
Okay.
And it says, let's put this back.
Okay. Now, there's two different voices.
Yeah.
Now, the first one I hear, let's put this back. The second one I'm hearing, I'd be curious to see. Put this back.
Hey, yeah,
that's what I'm hearing.
Scott, you got it. Excellent. Yep.
Hearing, at least my hearing hasn't completely gone.
Now, I tell you, that is the house by the, that is the first home built by the Lookout House architect.
The one across the street?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's there.
Okay. And that thing's still up for auction, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Did they have the auction yet? Or I thought they were already supposed to have had it.
I don't know if they even had any bids.
Huh.
Yeah, who knows? Life is strange, you know.
It really is. It really is. And we have a, it looks like we have quite a few on here that are, that we could play. In case anybody wanted to hear some of the oldies.
Yeah, they're the three new ones. Now, that's cool. You really pulled that second one out. That makes sense. And the beginning was so clear that, let's put this back. That
yeah.
was such a clear voice.
See, we've got, this is probably our most, well, I would say are probably what we're most known for as far as EVPs go. And this was from the Opal House.
Oh, yeah.
Rose, are you cold?
Now, for any of you who, I guess, lived under a rock and haven't heard that one before, it was a private residence that we were asked to investigate, and Jim and his nephew, Sean, who was early 20s at the time, I believe, were in the upstairs bedroom on the opposite side of the house with the door shut, and they got a little boy who screams, "I'm trying for the light," and then yells my oldest daughter's name, Bronwyn. There was only one boy in that house that night, and that was the owner's son. He was standing next to me on the first floor on the opposite side of the house and never opened his mouth, and he did not know my daughter's name anyway. So that was so that came through so loud that it drowns out Jim and his nephew talking. Yeah, I'll play it one more time.
Lost? Help.
And then, as you hear them start talking again, you can hear him in the background kind of, oh.
Nothing hell health lost. Rose, are you cold and lost?
So, that one was fantastic. That was, again, a straight EVP right off the digital recorder. I wonder if we have my all-time favorite that I wasn't even there for when we caught. Yes, we do. This was Jim and his sister and a couple others at about 2:30 in the morning on the cemetery up on top of the hill in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. And it's very clear, it's very sad, and it's very short. Just a simple little girl saying, "Daddy." So, being a father of three girls, that one pulls on my heartstrings. let's see, what else do we have? Oh, this is a great one, too. Do you remember a story a lot more than I do. The drowning, where it was, and all that. I'm going to...
Yeah.
I'll let you tell a story while I stop waiting to use the restroom, and then we'll play it.
Okay, yeah, this was in Utah, and... essentially, it was a property that was being converted to one of these antique stable areas where various vendors come in, rent a small space, and they have their they put their products in and stuff go through, and they can people can buy the antiques, and it was being renovated for such. It was built, the original building was from the 1870s, and There was no running water in the facility yet. They had piping and stuff set up, but there was no running water in the facility. And supposedly, at some time in its past, there had been a murder taking place there, and they had found a child's body. No one had ever been charged with the crime. The facts of everything were a little bit hazy, but that's the story that was given us. And then they said the workmen who were working on this facility had been having their tools missing, moved about. So it was, you know, from night to night. When they finished working, they're leaving their stuff there. They go out, come in, stuff's missing or moved or whatever. And so the owners of the facility had contacted me, and I was with a group out of Utah. This was southern Utah, in the St. George area. So anyhow, we'd gone in there and done some investigation, and this is the EVP I picked up. Again, you're going to hear water involved in this tape, and there was no source
of running water.
Of any running water at the time this was done.
Okay. That is right here. Between a male and a female. I don't know that we've ever really made out what they said to each other. It's kind of faint. You definitely hear a male and a female voice, but what they're saying we can't decipher. And then you hear what sounds like water being thrashed and something being banged. And when I first heard this, the image that came to my mind was perhaps this woman was in a bathing tub, like one of the old brass or copper metal bathing tubs that they used to have, and he was holding her under or pulled her legs up so she was under and couldn't breathe, and she was thrashing around and banging on the sides of it, and that's the banging and the water that you heard. That's what came into my brain the first time I heard that. But again, how do you explain that when there's no source of running water in that building for decades? You know, it wasn't like they shut it off a couple of days before. It was years.
Yeah, the place, like I said, it was pretty well gutted inside. The outside was intact, and they were renovating it for these antique stores, you know, how the people rent areas and then their stuff.
Speaking of gutted on the inside, real quick before I go to the next one, I wanted to ask Lola and Mike, when you did Benton Farms last, had they restored any of the inside of the building yet, or is it still all kind of chopped up and blocky the way it was? Because it was, I mean, there was framed walls, but there was no walls on the frames. So when we were there, I was just curious to know. You know, Linda, it may very well be on a loop. It may just be a residual thing.
Yeah, no, I wasn't picking up any energy signatures. That's definitely a loop.
She said no, it's still the same. Okay. All right, well. Again, having not been there, just going by what Jim talked about when he got back, our guess is that that's a residual and he just happened to be at the right place at the right time to pick it up, but still a fantastic catch. Jim has a proclivity for being in the right place at the right time when these things happen. So let's see. What else can we play for you guys? Now, what is Fultz or Fouts? I'm not familiar with that.
That was up in, you know, that guy in our church where it was the old original house with the tree growing in it and all that stuff. That was, and he claimed that something evil was driving their family out of the house.
That we went up there with with Matt? Listening.
Yeah, Matt was with us, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize we got anything out of there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we got a couple things.
Okay.
Go ahead and play it. Well, I don't think we've played it before.
Okay.
And we'll play it and we'll give the background on it.
Is this temporary?
How scary, it's a hit and run. Huh.
Is that the only one on there?
No, no, no.
Okay, so go ahead and play, and we'll give a little background on the house then.
Not much. I'm going to cut it.
I'm going to stop.
It told him, don't stop, just before he said, I'm going to stop.
Yeah, that's why I put it in there. It's sort of interesting.
Are they looking for somebody?
What the hell was that loud bang? Is what I'm
banging and then a no.
Yeah, well, I heard the no. I just... Okay.
How old are you? How old are you? How old are you?
I don't know. That's what I'm hearing.
Say your name, we'll hear you. Say your name, we'll hear you.
Your name is Berserk, apparently.
Yeah.
And you still do? Dying in this house?
I hear it down at the end.
Down at the end, okay.
Down at the end.
Now, what this house is about, this is an old, it's Newville.
Yes.
Newville, Pennsylvania. Newville is a weird city. It's here, I guess it's in Cumberland County, just the county north of here, and, we had that friend of Melissa's come by and told how the devil worshiping and crap going on there.
Yes.
Will you hear that?
Yes.
Okay, so we've heard a lot of strange tales about Newville. And they claim there's a number of satanic cults have worked the area over the years. Back in the 30s, there was a famous case that occurred in Newville where... They woke up in the morning in the main road coming through town. They woke up to find four little girls laid out from, I think, the lower stages, maybe like 5 or 6, up to about 12. And they thought that three of the girls were sisters and one of them wasn't related. And they were laid out in a sheet by the roadside, past dead. No deliberate...
cause of death.
Cause of death, you know. anyhow, they found him there. There's actually a historical marker there now on the roads. Mm-hmm. One of those historical markers set up. And then later, the police put it together, and what had happened was the Depression era. And it was a guy and a woman came through, and he was looking for work and jobs, and he had evidently four young girls in tow, and wasn't able to get any work. People were caught seeing the guy stopping at places asking, and ultimately it looks like the girls were strangulated, or, you know, with a pillow or something. And again, if three were related, were sisters, the fourth, they speculate, was a friend, but because he couldn't get work, couldn't provide for him, he killed the girls, and then him and his girlfriend killed themselves with a gun. They shot themselves to death. They found them in the car that they'd been driving around. And I believe there was even a book written about this. Newville's got a lot of weird stuff going on there, and we've never really investigated up there because there's all this negative stuff is in our game. But this friend of mine had a home, and it was original. I mean, it goes back to colonial days, and the tree is growing in the middle of the house. It was one of the supports.
Right up
back
in the middle
then,
of the house.
They, I guess in the 1700s, it wasn't uncommon to build your home onto an established tree, using that as a base. And that's how this home was built and later added on to. It was all segmented. All the rooms were small. And if you remember, below the kitchen, it went down. It was open. It was stone cellar. That's where that one about where you killed here. Okay. And it said no down below or
down
whatever.
The end.
Down at the end. That's where that was picked up. So he claimed that something in there was driving him and his family out of that house. And he had asked us to come up there. So you and I and Mac, my son and his girlfriend, the four of us went up there. And we really can't say it was much that day. I mean, it was
very subdued.
It was subdued, yeah. But we did get a couple EVPs. I don't know. We got one. Cindy got a couple weird photographs.
As we heard, there was a lot of loud banging and noises that we couldn't explain. But as far as personal experience, not a whole lot of anything.
Right.
And
but that's
a lot
what
of
that,
the equipment wasn't picking up. The
now,
and
in all fairness, and again, we talk about things following. My friend there has had a really rough life, and even after moving out of there and they got to another place, it has not been good. They've had a lot of health issues and struggled with a lot of mental situations, and I swear to God, this guy really has tried hard, but he's like living under a black cloud. I mean, I've never seen anybody with such bad luck. They were in that house, and he swore that, you know, that there was an entity in that house that really was playing on their family, and he ultimately left that house.
Right.
So we did get some EVPs out of it.
Dante Rockin wants to know, how do you feel about a homeowner doing their own investigation? I know me personally, I guess I would say it depends on the homeowner and the home and the situation.
Well,
I would never do it in my situation because I have three children. And if there is activity, I don't want to spark it up around my kids.
But especially if people feel real well-versed with the equipment. You know, the guy with the Hell House in Seattle.
Oh, Keith Linder, yeah.
Keith Linder, he set his place up with equipment and was capturing
right.
stuff.
But, you know, again, situation would be different. It was just him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
there's
do it
a
because
lot of other things that
having three
it.
Small children.
Yeah.
If I'm a single guy, sure, I'd do it. Because if anything goes bad, I'm the one who has to deal with it.
Now,
no
I will tell you, and again, the gentleman we went to his house we were just talking about, he told us it was crazy for like a week after we left. It was really like on a high end.
Yeah.
And I guess that sort of set his mindset that he had to get out of the house.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a good, very valid question. And I guess you got to weigh in a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know, completely off subject, Lola and Mike had said about getting back to Benton Farms. So.
Oh, I do want to get back there. by all means.
Unfortunately, it's gonna have to wait till next year because I'm not going there in that cold again.
Yeah.
Hell with
that.
I've never been in a place, and I've been in Kane.
Yeah.
Kane is freezing in the winter, and I mean absolutely freezing. But I have never been in a place where I was so cold that I refused to get off the couch and out from under the blankets and investigate. I was that damn cold. So, that's going to have to wait for a summertime thing, I think. That's just my personal opinion. I know Haley wants to get back because she was really drawn to that tree outside.
Yeah.
Just didn't have enough time to spend out there because of the freeze.
I think we want to hit that, though, with warmer weather for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would never go there again in the winter.
Maybe early September might be ideal.
Yeah. They just did it here a few weeks back.
Yeah,
that would have been perfect.
That was a good time. That really was.
That would have been perfect. Unfortunately, you know, things being what they are, it just wasn't in the cards for us. Okay, let's see what else do we have. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show. We've got, obviously, a lot of ours are from Gettysburg, but that's where we spent our first 10 years breaking ourselves into the field, so... there's some in here that I'm not familiar with, so I'm not sure where they're from.
I can remember it.
Mr. Norman.
This is up in Maine. Mr. Norman. Yeah, that was up in Maine. It was a cemetery up in Maine outside of Bar Harbor.
Okay.
And nothing special about it. I was up there visiting first and really only time I've been to Maine. And anyhow, went around the cemetery. I think that's the only one I got.
Okay. Wow.
That's bugs, obviously. A lot of insects.
What the hell kind of bug was that?
Yeah.
Sound like static on a radio.
Yeah.
But I definitely hear a little girl saying, Mr. Norman.
Yeah, that was the only thing I got up there.
You know what? I'm going to break protocol. I'm going to play one we said we wouldn't play live on the air because of the language.
Oh, okay.
I'll give you the story on this real quick. The very first time we ever did Mansfield Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio, we had an eclectic group. It was me and Jim, a friend of ours who we used to work with at Hopkins named George. Janet was with us, wasn't she?
Yes.
Janet Jones, our teammate from out on the West Coast. A guy named Chris, who was the husband of someone my wife used to work with, and that guy's a whole different set of stories. But and then my oldest brother, okay? Now, my oldest brother at his largest was 6'6", somewhere between 6'6", 6'7", 375 pounds. So he is a gigantic man. And he is the biggest scaredy cat you're going to find. He talks a big game, but no, he's... Like, there's a video that's been going around lately where it's a dashboard camera from a cop car, and these two cops are walking into the cemetery at night, and something screams really loud, and you see that first cop turning on a whole ass back. That would have been my brother, okay? So at one point, it's just me and him, and we're down in the solitary confinement, and he's in one cell, and I'm in the one next to him. And he makes some kind of comment about, I'm all alone in here. And for anybody that would know him, that in and of itself was an accomplishment for him to be alone in a place like that with no light by himself. So he picked up this EVP, and when I played it back for him, at first he was not convinced that he had picked that up. And then it shook him to his core. And when everybody asked me, how do I know that that wasn't somebody else there? I said, because I know that he picked that up as an EVP, because if he had actually heard that with his ears, there would be a hole in the side of Mansfield in the shape of him running, just running. That's what the video would have picked up. My brother in this shape, a hole, because he'd have took off. We probably still wouldn't know where he is. So he got this in solitary confinement.
Hey guys, I'm all by myself.
And I'll play one more time in case you didn't get that.
Hey guys, I'm all by myself.
And that was a former prisoner of Mansfield solitary confinement screaming, F the world. And he picked that up. See, what else? I think we got one time for one more. Let's go up a little bit. Okay, did anyone done something right here naked?
Popping.
I don't remember this one either. We get so many of them, I can't remember what from where anymore.
Did anyone die in this room?
Okay, this is at St. Augustine, the fort, the Spanish fort.
That place is amazing.
And this is Tim and Ginger, they're kids, the three boys. It was they had the boys, it was Ginger and Luke, June, myself, when we were in the fort, gave them all a recorder and just had them walk around in the rooms and stuff. So that's her son. That's Ginger's son asking the question, and that's what he picked up.
Did anyone die in this room? Did anyone die in this room?
Now, that's a female, and it says, really? I'm in here naked. And one, it sounded like the girl was way too young to be talking about being naked. And two, that's not something you want to talk to about a little boy.
I think her son was like 6 at the time.
Yeah, so that's crazy. A little boy of 6 years old picks up a little girl, probably around the same age, saying, I'm in here naked.
They have it partitioned off, so they had areas where I guess they had guns and storing stuff. And it was just, you can walk from the inside of the fort. You walk to these various rooms. They all feed to the center.
Right.
So that's where that was. I forget the name of that.
I've been there. I was there, Castilla de San Marcos. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there as a child. 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. Because my uncle used to live in St. Augustine, and it was just so beautiful in St. Augustine. And we went to that place, and even as a 10-year-old, and then next year is 11, and next year is, because we went several years in a row. Even as between 10 years and 12 years old, even those 3 years, I knew there was something off about that place. Not like I shouldn't be here off, but something I wasn't alone off, you know. Even back then, I knew. It was a beautiful fort, though. I mean, it's fantastically
great
kept.
Shape.
It's kept as much as it is, but we also stopped at the Fountain of Youth of Ponce de Leon landing site.
St. Augustine's amazing. You can definitely feel the energy.
And especially if you go down the oldest road, it's all the cobblestone and the little, you can just walk down there, it's all right there, you know, you
so
feel it.
So next week, we got Cisco Murdoch on, she'll probably be joining us around 8:10, and if anybody's caught that before, it's a really 2-hour whirlwind. She picks up on
it goes so fast,
it's neat.
So.
And ask your questions, because
absolutely.
She's really going.
Absolutely. So next week, we'll be on our 2-hour show with Cisco Murdoch, and that'll be on the Live Paranormal Facebook page. We want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We hope you enjoyed the EVPs and the news that we put out, and we will see you in 1 week. Have a good weekend.